You're listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame.
Hi, Jeff. Good morning to you and good afternoon to everybody here in the UK.
Yes, it is. It's a good morning so far.
Yes. Is it? It's very early.
It is. It's early, but yeah, it's good. It's been a good week here. We don't have a automatic sprinkler system, which is kind of strange for the area that we live in. When we moved into this new house, it was a mess. It was broken, so I have to manually water, which is fine. So I have to do that a lot. But we've been getting rain every day, like massive downpours every day, and so I haven't had to touch the water all week. And my grass is looking amazing. It's like this carpet of soft, beautiful St. Augustine grass everywhere. And so, like, you can walk in your bare feet and lay out in it if you wanted to. And so it's, So anyway, I mean, it's been great this week.
Excellent. Well, I'm pleased that I actually got, talking about grass and rain, I actually got caught in the rain doing my
grass. No.
So then I had wet grass everywhere. So I can't say that my garden's looking so good. The grass is mown, even though it was all a bit wet and messy. But
yeah.
Anyway, I'm pleased that you have such a beautiful lawn to sunbathe on, and I hope you get the weather to do it.
Yeah, if we ever get any sun again.
Yeah, no, it's muggy here. It's really.
Oh,
muggy.
It's very, very muggy. Yesterday it was close to 100 degrees without plus then the humidity on top of that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Here, but it is a bit. I think we're getting storms at the weekend. I think so. Washing's out on the line. All the washing on the line at the minute.
Yeah. That's funny. We're getting totally off topic, but I've seen your pictures of your wash hanging on the line, and it reminds me of when I was a kid back in the olden days doing that. I haven't done that. I don't know if that's is that common there in the UK to hang your wash on the line.
I think so. I think I am a bit old-fashioned, though. I never use my tumble dryer or dishwasher, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I think that you can't beat your washing being hung on the line, but I don't know. Is anybody watching? If anybody's watching, am I the only one in the UK who puts their washing on the line? Yeah. Well, I don't think I am. But
yeah. I haven't done it in years. I don't know what... In fact, it's so humid here, though. I don't know. It'd take forever for it to dry.
Yeah. No, it's quite good here. I'm quite good looking at my gardens and gets a lot of sun this time of year. But anybody watching, what's your experience with that? But yes, anyway, anybody who is watching, please do say hello. We are here to talk about nutrition and to talk about fitness and health. If you've got any questions at all related to that or anything at all that you've got that you'd like to ask Jeff and I on the back.
Yeah, hi. I'm going to try and pronounce your name, Fajul from Dubai. Good to have you join us.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
Yeah, and anybody else, and all the way from Dubai. Oh gosh, where it is incredibly humid, I bet. Anybody else who's watching, please say hello. If you've got any questions whatsoever, we're going to talk about how food is much, much more than nutrition and answer any of your questions that you've got right now today. But before we do, I've got an exciting announcement to make. I'm going to be starting a back to school nutrition program on the 6th of September, actually, which is only, I think, a couple of weeks on Monday. Is that right? It's going to be an 8-week program that really will give you a flavor for what I am all about. But also, of course, more importantly, I'm going to look at helping you establish healthy habits around your nutrition and your exercise. So basically, the curriculum, let's keep it school themed, has three areas to help you succeed with your nutrition, your exercise, and your habit changes. It's all going to be delivered through my brand new app, which I'm really, really excited about. It seems to be working with really, really well. So you'll be having bite-sized lessons, accountability, and also live group coaching with me. Now, my exciting offer is that anybody who does sign up in the next 24 hours, so anybody who commits in the next 24 hours will be put into a raffle, and one lucky person will get their place free. Now, the full 8-week program is an investment of £199. I'm not sure exactly what that is in dollars, because if you are over in the US, this is international. This is because I'm going to be doing it through an app, and we're going to be doing coaching sessions through live videos. It's open to anybody across the world. It's £199, Great British pounds. What would that be in dollars, Jeff? Because I have had some inquiries from the US.
Oh, wow. It'd probably be, I'm going to say maybe 220. Let's see. Let's look.
Thank you. Yes. So that's the investment for the whole 8 weeks. So it's, you know, you're going.
The pound is up in its value. So it would be 270 US dollars.
Yeah, I thought the pound was up actually. For something else. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you very much. So that's for the full program, though. You're going to be getting recipes. You're going to be getting guidance on meal planning. It's in my bedroom, darling. I'm live. Anyway, there you go. The reality of life. There's going to be recipes. There's going to be example workouts. There's going to be, you know, you're going to get guidance on meal planning, on what to focus on. And really, it's going to help you to kick back into those habits that are going to make sure that you can manage, maintain your weight and feel energized and healthy moving forward. So, yes, anybody who signs up in the next 24 hours will be going into my exclusive draw where one person will get their place free. So I'm super, super excited because it is going to be, like I said, it's taken everything and just really drilling it down into short bite-sized lessons so it all builds upon each other so nobody feels overwhelmed at any point. So
yeah, that sounds really exciting. I'm sure it's going to be a really good, really great program.
Yeah. Well, my executive energy solution program is going really, really well at the moment. Although, you know, it's about eating well for energy, et cetera. You know, clients are losing weight. They're feeling much more energized. They're getting up in the morning, jumping out of bed and stuff. So that's going really, really well. And that was, you know, that's been going through the app. So I'm absolutely excited to be taking it that one step further and offering this 8-week program where you'll get unlimited access to myself. So you'll be getting personalized guidance and support throughout. So it's a bargain, really. Especially
that really is.
So, yes. So there we go. Anyway, that's just my little. So if anybody's got any questions about that, please do comment or please just drop me a message and I will send you everything that you need to get signed up. So, yes, if you are thinking about it, don't miss out on that. So anyway, going into today's topic, then we're going to talk about how food is much more than nutrition. We've got a question there. Exactly what are the nutritious foods? Oh, great question. Where do we start with that one?
It's almost like they were leading us into our discussion today.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So where do we start with this one, Jeff?
Well, that's actually a good question. And because that's really what we're kind of answering.
Yes.
In talking about what is, yeah, how food is more than just nutrition, because we could list off the most nutrient dense foods or a list of foods that have a lot of bang for the buck as far as the nutritional content, the vitamins, the minerals that you get in relationship to the amount of calories that we take in. That's typically what kind of diet culture would do, is they would prioritize nutrient dense foods over other foods that may provide us calories, but maybe less as far as vitamins and minerals. But we also both know that that's not necessarily what we should be thinking about when we're thinking of, when we're choosing what foods that we want to eat.
Yeah. And it's interesting actually, because I think this is where I think diet culture as well does kind of make that segue in, is because fundamentally, you know, when we do listen to our bodies, they will want to go for that. We will want the more nutrient dense foods. We'll want the foods that are providing our bodies with everything. They will want the foods that make us feel good. But I think it's when you put too much pressure on yourself to always only eat, you know, if you're telling yourself you can only eat clean or you can only eat food that's going to give you optimal nutrition value all of the time, it's going to get tricky. It's going to get messy because of the psychological impact of that. And I think that's what diet culture does, because I mean, I must say, you know, whenever I'm working with a client, fundamentally, my aim is for them to make the most nutritious food choices most of the time, but also, as well, of course, making choices that maybe aren't so nutritionally valuable and not feeling any guilt or shame because of that. Because, you know, when we talk about nutritious food, you know, nutritious food is, you know, the most nutrient-dense foods are, you know, that whole minimally processed foods. Every food will give you different nutrients and they're all very, very valuable, aren't they, of course? But mm-hmm. The less processed that a food is, the more nutritionally valuable it is going to be. But like you said earlier, Jeff, we don't just eat for nutrition reasons. We eat for all a host of other reasons as well. You know, we eat the less nutritious foods. It's funny, actually. I remember, just to try and kind of exemplify this a little bit, I remember when I was struggling with my eating. You know, I've been quite open and honest about it. I struggled throughout my 20s, my late teens and my 20s with an eating disorder. And I remember somebody offering me some cake once. And do you know, it's just something that kind of plays on my mind. And I said to her, no, as usual, it'd be like, no, thank you, I've eaten, I've already eaten, thank you, I'm fine, I'm full. Yeah. And this person turned around to me and she says, well, no one ever eats cake because they are hungry. Nobody ever eats cake because they want to fill a gap. They eat it because it's good. They eat it because it's connection. They eat it because they want to enjoy food. And she actually said to me, I'm not asking you if you want cake because you're hungry. I'm asking you to have cake so you can enjoy it with me and right. have connection with me. And I remember at the time, I was like, yeah, it still didn't quite sink in. But it's funny that obviously the more that I work in this area and the more that I work with clients, the more it's, you know, this is the thing, you know, food that isn't nutritious has a place in our lives for other reasons. Nobody eats cake and chocolate because they want to be, you know, they want to be in the peak of their fitness, let's say, but they might eat it because they want to be happy and they want to connect and they want to bond and they want to just feel, you know, feel that pleasure without the guilt, though. That's the thing, because if you're going to have the guilt, then it just eradicates it. And yeah, it just ends up leading into probably eating more of the cake in the long run because yeah. you put pressure on yourself.
Yeah, that's a really good statement. I'm going to have to remember that exact one. I can see myself using that definitely. You know, somebody saying, you know, I'm not really hungry. I'm full. I'm not going to have cake. Because it's interesting at restaurants, they'll often ask you, so do you have room for dessert? And sometimes usually I don't eat dessert when I go to a restaurant just because I'm full enough that I really don't want any. But usually I can eat dessert. Or if my wife decides she wants some and I'm not really feeling it for myself, once it comes out, I'll take a few bites of hers. And it's because it's exactly that. It's not, we don't eat dessert because we're still hungry necessarily.
Exactly. It's interesting though, because, and I think I've spoken about this before, there was a study, and I know I speak about this in my workshops, where restrictive eaters and non-restrictive eaters there was a study done on them. And I think it was something like, so if you're a restrictive eater, obviously you're living by rules, you're living by guidelines, and you know, you're restricting foods in your diet basically. So you may be following a low carb diet, you maybe tell yourself you're not allowed to eat crisps or chocolate, whatever, you're restricted. When you're not restrictive, of course, you're listening and to your body and you're letting your body guide you, and there are no rules, there is just respect. Yeah. And this study showed that restrictive eaters were more likely, when offered food in a restaurant, dessert in a restaurant, even though they were full, when offered dessert in a restaurant, when it was brought out and, you know, and shown to them and offered to them, they were more likely to have dessert even though they were full than non-restrictive eaters. So the people who were trying to be good ended up overeating in this study, probably because of the psychological impact of trying to be good. Right. So it's funny that when you take away that psychological restriction, it actually, because this is the other thing, you know, people struggle with restriction, but it's a psychological, it's psychological, isn't it? Because actually physically half the time it ends up backfiring.
Yeah, that really is true. And when you know, I find myself, especially since really making a transition to being an intuitive eater or working and moving down that path myself, you know, I actually do that myself, not just with clients, that I do find that when I decide not to have dessert, for example, at a restaurant, it's because I really am not in the mood for it at that time. It has nothing to do with whether I'm hungry for it. And it also isn't something where I think, well, I better eat it now because this is my one time to splurge. I know that if later that evening I decide I want something sweet, I can go get it. The next day, if I decide I want a donuts, I can go get them, or cookies or whatever it is. And so prior to that, when I was doing calorie counting, years back, I would think more in terms of how it fit my calorie target for the day and whether it was within that. And that's how I might decide, or I might be thinking, okay, well, let's see, it's going to put me over today, but what can I do tomorrow? Can I adjust it tomorrow? Is it going to fit in tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow's going to be an easy day. I can go ahead and cut back on it and make up for those calories. And so you thinking about it in a completely different terms and making the decision for completely different reasons. And I might make the same exact decision, but it was really more about the intent of it. And I think when you're thinking from more of a calorie restricted, calorie controlled mindset, and I'm not dissuading anyone from doing that, if that's the way that works for you. But, and to be completely honest, it wasn't like this emotional drain on me. It worked fine for me. I just really do prefer the way that I'm eating now over that way. But anyway, coming back to that, it just changes the way that you think about things. And if that's an area where you really struggle, like someone who may be struggling with an eating disorder or disordered eating or their relationship with food, it really does change your whole outlook on that. And that's why it's really important that we think of food as being more than just nutrition.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like you said as well, it's, you know, you make choices. when we are, obviously, and I know you take the same approach as me to me, Jeff, is that, you know, obviously we are, unlike, actually, I say this, you know, because there is a lot of mistakes a lot of people make is listening to non-evidence-based stuff. Like, you know, if you eat fat, you're going to get fat. If you eat carbs, you're going to get fat. You know, if you drink lemon water, you're going to boost your metabolism. If you drink little and often, you're going to boost your metabolism. Now, all of these things have maybe got a tiny little element of something in them. Does that make sense? But they're not, none of them are evidence-based. They're not fact-driven. There's just something in there that has become a truth and repeated over and over and over again. But anyway, I'm going off on one because what I'm trying to say is that I know that, you know, we do coach our clients to eat in a way that is healthful. We do coach our clients in line with evidence-based principles, but we also know that that needs to be integrated with that person in front of us, don't we? We know that that person, that when we're listening to our body, when we're letting our bodies guide us and we are aware of, you know, the guidelines, the evidence base, but we can honor and respect our own intuition, that's where we find that beautiful place where, you know, you're making decisions and you're probably making healthful decisions because you want to rather than because you feel that you must. Yeah. So, you know, always our aim is probably to get people eating in a way that, because it messes with clients' heads sometimes, because when they say to me, what, Rebecca? Like I always say to clients, and I've said this before, you know, rather than me telling you what you shouldn't eat, let's look at what you need to include. And I remember I've spoken about this before, but one of my new one-to-one clients, he laughed at me. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, I never thought, you know, a nutritionist would be telling me to eat more. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I'm telling you to increase the variety in your diet and to focus on the foods that are missing out of it so that you can get the range of nutrition from your diet. And then you might actually find that by default, those sweet carbs that you're struggling with, or, you know, those the chocolate and the cakes that you're struggling with will naturally, you know, appear less in your diet, but not because I've said you cannot eat them. Because if you can't eat them, it's going to give you power. It's going to give them power. Also, then if you go and eat them, you're never going to tell me the truth. So, you know, it's about giving unconditional permission to eat those foods. And then, yeah, I must admit that a lot of clients do go through a honeymoon period where they're a bit like, oh, but I can eat what I want now. And I want, you know, but that never lasts if they even ever go through it. You know, I mean, the amount of clients where I've set them the challenge of eating their favorite food, so whether that be sweets, chocolate, crisps, every single day. And I don't think ever once a client has come back and went, oh my God, I overdid it. I feel sick. But, you know, it's usually, do you know what? for a few days I ate it, and then by day 4 or 5, I didn't want it. I'm not bothered anymore. And it's been sat in my cupboard for ages.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show the power of psychology and how we do eat for so much more than nutrition. You know, food is so much more. It's about, and you know, for me, and I've noticed this more and more. I mean, it's quite sad really, because I come from an Italian family. My nonna and nonno, they brought me up, basically massive, massive part of my life. Food was so important to our relationship. Mm-hmm. Maybe, when I look back now, maybe a little bit too much. It's funny because I reflect, and I've been reflecting more recently, and I look at how food was often used as, a way of showing love and kindness. And often when my grandma was struggling with things, her way of coping was to feed us up, let's say, which, I'm not going to go into all of that, but, obviously, and then, but it was a big part of our family, of our bonding. And it still is now with my children. I mean, I've learned from my experiences, even though it's still difficult, and I've learned through my training and my education and through working with clients how to try and avoid emotional attachment to food in my children. Not saying that I'm getting it perfectly right, I'm not. But having said that, it's a massive part of, I think that we bond the most as a family when we are cooking, when we are eating, when we are exploring, when we're talking about food, when we're at the allotment and we're digging up food, or, it is such a rich part of my relationship, my children. And I think if I was being restricted or I was still struggling with my eating like I was before, I don't think I'd have that same connection with my children. So, it is so important, isn't it? And I think when you think about it, when do you have your best moments with your friends? When do you socialize? When you get, usually you go out for a meal or you go out for a drink, and when you take that away because you're trying to stick to diet rules or you're trying to, really, really micromanage your diet, it just falls apart, doesn't it?
Yeah, you really do miss out on that enjoyment aspect of it. And it's really interesting how, both of us being proponents of intuitive eating and using it in our own way of eating as well as in the way we coach clients. And it was really interesting when I first looked into intuitive eating and the principles, there's 10 principles to it, and how rejecting the diet mentality, these are the kind of the orders that they're presented, and honor your hunger, making peace with food, challenging the food police, discovering the satisfaction factor, feeling your fullness, coping with your emotions, with kindness, respecting your body, movement or, physical activity and those kinds of things. And then number 10 is gentle nutrition. So the whole nutrition part, the part where we start talking about which foods have more nutrients in them and how they benefit our body and all of that, that comes down number 10. Now, it doesn't mean that with each client or each person that that's the last thing they should look at, because sometimes, we do these things in different orders, but it's really interesting how that was emphasized. It's intentionally put at the very end. And I think that we both have found that often when we're working with somebody, getting their mind off of really that question, exactly what are the nutritious foods, kind of saying, okay, we can talk some about some of the benefits and of things of fiber and protein and those kinds of things, but let's shift our attention over here for right now. Let's look at these other things. Yeah. And yes, we'll talk about these things at times. And that's kind of where that gentle nutrition aspect comes in, to where, let's not worry too much about the specifics there, because they don't matter as much. That's not the issue. The issue with most people who are really struggling with eating and maybe struggling with excess body weight that's become so much that it's actually a detriment to their health, it's not because typically that they're eating fast food or that they're eating sugar. Yes, those might be contributing factors, but there's so much more to how we get to a place where we're way beyond our natural set point or the natural place where our body would like to live as far as its size. And when we push that limit and go way beyond it, it's not because we chose white rice over brown rice or because we chose...
That was the point I made today. Well, it was white potatoes and sweet potatoes, I think.
Right. Yeah. Because we ate white potatoes instead of sweet potatoes, or white bread instead of whole grain, or because we're eating added sugar in this or that. And you know, that's not what it is. That's missing the entire big picture.
When I first started my intuitive eating group, so I've got, you know, I do my nutrition programs, and then I've got my longer running groups that I do. Mm-hmm. So I've got an intuitive eating group. It's funny, actually, one of the ladies in it last week, she went, oh, you know, I love this group. She was like, there needs to be so many more of these. And I was like, yeah, you know, everybody needs to be in one of these groups. Anyway, sorry. And but it's funny because whenever somebody joins it, or the ladies that first joined it to begin with, you know, it was always like, oh, should I be eating this yogurt? Should I be eating Molly Lights, or should I be eating Greek yogurt? And you know, and it's all just like, just stop sweating the small stuff. What do you like? What do you prefer? And now it's like complete opposite. They've like completely changed their mindset towards it all. And it's like, I feel so much more relaxed. The thing is, if you are, and this is not, I'm not saying in response particularly to this question, because that's a very good question. And I do want to give it a little bit more context in a second. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, if you are, you know, constantly thinking about food, if you're constantly worrying about the macros in foods or what's going, or clean foods, or what am I going to eat? What's going to be the best thing for me right now to manage my weight? Or what's going to be the best thing for me now from a health perspective? If you're constantly thinking about that, or constantly thinking about calories, clean foods, all that kind of stuff, then there probably is some work to be done. And you probably need to let go of that, and you need to start thinking about how you're thinking about food and what and how you're perceiving food and your relationship with food. Mm-hmm. Because it's not until you have done that, you need to take a step away, think about all of that that's going on. And I say this like it's easy, and it's not. This is why, you know, this is why I've got my guided group programs. It's why I do what I do, because it's not easy. But if you are, you know, if you're searching again for that next best diet, if you're searching again for, you know, of the best way to control your calories, or, you know, really, you know, it is on the spectrum of, you know, of being a bit disordered in terms of your thinking around food. So, you know, it's about working on that relationship with food and your body, and then you can look at it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I'm totally not against, and I know you're not either, Jeff, I'm not against intentional weight loss. I'm really not against it at all. Yeah. However, what I am against is somebody who beats themselves up, who cannot detach themselves away from the fact that it might not happen the way that they want to, or mm-hmm. cannot, or someone who lets it rule their life, and someone who stops having any enjoyment or fun around food. And for me, if you do have a disordered relationship with food, if you do, and I'm not talking about an eating disorder, I'm just talking about, you know, food should be something that is neutral. Food just should just be food. And if you're not seeing food in that way, then, you know, there's a little bit of work to be done, and everybody has a different starting point with this. But once you can, you know, once you do, when you can detach yourself away from those rules, those regulations, searching for that magic solution, then, you know, intentional weight loss can be achieved and can be done, you know. And again, same with the scales. I'm not against somebody weighing themselves. And sometimes people have to go through a period of not weighing themselves.
Right.
Sometimes people have to go through a period of not thinking about calories and not thinking about nutritious food in order to heal themselves. Yeah. But then the thing is, if you're going to avoid ever thinking about calories, or you're going to avoid ever putting yourself on the scales, again, you're just, you know, you're kind of giving it power also. So you need to go through a process of healing your relationship, and then, you know, and then the rest of it can kind of fall into place without you beating yourself up. I don't know if I've explained that very well, but.
Yeah. No, those are great points. You know, it kind of reminds me of this. There's this meme that's been going around, and I have somebody that I know who's been sharing it several times, and it looks kind of positive on the surface, but there's some interesting language in there that kind of changes it. And I think a lot of people overlook this, and you may have seen it. It's a fuel gauge, empty and full, and then it says food is fuel. You wouldn't starve your car of fuel and expect it to run efficiently, would you? Of course not, right? Food is fuel. It fuels our bodies. And then it says, then it goes on to say, successful weight loss is not about starving. It's about fueling your body with healthy, low-calorie foods that needs to help you to lose weight. And so it's on the right track, but then it's like, okay, successful weight loss, you know, while both of us don't really necessarily like intentional weight loss for everybody. We kind of take a different approach, sort of, hey, let's help you get into the body that's right for you by getting your eating into a place where it works best for you. And if that means that weight loss comes, great. If not, great. And so we tend to take that more sort of backdoor, back burner approach if somebody is trying to improve that. But it's really interesting here how it's like, it's talking about food being fuel, which it is. Calories is what fuels our body. But then this little meme goes in and says, with healthy, low calorie. So it takes away. Yeah. And it's almost implying that implying that the nutrients in the foods, the vitamins and minerals, is the fuel, but it's not. And that's an important distinction that we need to understand. So when we talk about food and the nutritiousness of it and the value to our body, we have to look at, yes, the nutritious, nutrient dense food is important, but we also need the energy from the food too. That's the fuel. The other stuff is kind of optimizing the body. And
why do people freak out about calories? I mean, I'll say why about calories. I've been there, done that, and I think, but the thing is that it's when you start to, the best thing I ever did and the best thing that I get my clients to do is just to get curious about what's driving your behaviors. If you're freaking out about calories, why? What's that faulty belief there? The faulty belief is usually, you know, you've had it drummed into you that if you eat calories, you're going to get fat and you're going to get unhealthy, you're going to get diabetes. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, these are all the things that are probably, because again, even when I have clients that come to me, I need to lose weight because I need to, you know, I need to be healthy and I don't want to get diabetes. And I'm like, whoa, calm down, slow down there. You know, let's take it a few steps back here. Yeah. And, you know, again, sometimes I think that is just weight loss rhetoric dressed up, isn't it? But this is it, you know, it's diet culture. The weight loss industry is getting clever in that respect. It's telling us we can use intuitive eating to lose weight. It's telling us we can use mindful eating to lose weight, but that's not what it's about. It's really, really not what it's about.
Exactly.
And I think, and again, you know, calories are energy. We need calories. Without calories, we will die. So why? And look, I remember speaking to a new client once, and all the questions I usually ask, what does health mean to you? And this is one question that I wanted to ask anybody who is watching right now. Hi, Craig. I eat whatever I fancy. Good. And how does that work?
Hi, Craig.
How does that work for you? Do you fancy chocolate and crisps all day, every day? So, you know, the thing is I want to ask people, what does two things, you know, what does food mean to you? Yeah. And what does health mean to you? Okay. So I'd love anybody who's watching to answer those two questions. Okay. And I remember that when I spoke to, and you know, this is not uncommon, spoke to a new client and I said to her, what does healthy mean to you? And she says, oh, well, low calories, no carbohydrates. It's a bit like when someone said to me as well, and I said to her, what does balance? She was like, I need a better balance. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Most clients, when they come to me, need a better balance. But what does balance mean to you? Oh, it means eating only carbohydrates once a week. You know,
right, yeah.
you are never going to find balance. You're never going to get true variety. You are never going to experience true health if you are restricting, if you are applying rules, if you're telling yourself you can only eat certain things at a certain time or in a certain order or a certain amount of times a day or a week, you're never, ever going to achieve that balance, the healthy balance that you need. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And that's, you know, that question or that comment, I eat whatever I fancy. I mean, and you asked a really good question. Do you fancy chocolate all day? Of course not. I mean, well, I should let him answer if he's going to answer, but I don't mean to put words in the mouth, but I have a very, very strong suspicion that, his response was not every day, but in small quantities. And that's exactly the case.
I eat chocolate every day. I'm with you. I eat what I fancy. Most of the time, I'm going to say, because this is the other thing, is that people think you've got diet, you've got intuitive eating. So a diet is restriction, rules, blah, 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 blah. Intuitive eating is eat whatever you want, sod the rules. No. You know, it's not that black and white, because the other thing is with, you know, when you are listening to your body, it's not about always eating what you fancy all the time, because sometimes that is not possible. You know, we have to think about the practicalities. So you know, if you are working, you're busy, you're out and about, you're not always going to be able to eat what you fancy, but you've got to be practical, okay? If you're preparing and planning your food the night before, it might come to lunch and it might not be exactly what you fancy, but you've got to, you know, when you prepared it last night, it was what you fancy. So it's not always about, oh, I'm going to sod the lunch I've prepared and go and get myself pizza and crisps. You know, it's...
Right.
So it's you know, it is eating what you fancy. It is allowing yourself those foods that you enjoy, but it's also about practicalities. It's not about, you know, kind of just doing whatever you, it's not, I guess my point is here, and I made this point today in my post as well, subtly, is that if we responded to every primal urge we had, I mean, I would definitely, actually, I'm not going to say that, but, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, if we were, how many times have you really wanted to, you know, really, I was going to say, how many times you really wanted to throttle somebody, do you know what I mean? And if you every single time you'd be in trouble if you responded to every single primal urge you had. So intuitive eating isn't about responding to that rush of emotion that you feel straight away. It's about stopping, it's about being curious, it's about checking in, and then it's about taking action and being in charge of that action. You know, it's not about eating chocolate all day every day because a sudden urge comes on you at all. And what you said there, Craig, we not every day, but in small quantities, because you eat what you fancy. So chocolate probably doesn't have any, or crisps or whatever it is, probably doesn't have any power over you. I eat chocolate every day. It doesn't have power over me. I enjoy it. I like it. I don't eat it because, you know, I want to particularly feel like I'm going to go for a, you know, go and run a marathon afterwards. Sometimes I do it just for a bit of comfort in the evenings, you know, it's, yeah. And I love chocolate at the end of the day.
And that's part of, that's the, one of the important parts of the whole process of learning to eat intuitively, is that it's about that connection, that tuning in, and yes, you might have a primal urge for some particular thing, but it's taking a moment and checking in and saying, hey, is that really going to be beneficial to me? Do I really want that as much as I think I do? Or is there something else that's driving that? Am I trying to cope with my emotions by eating this particular food? And is there a better way that I could cope with my emotions? And then you may decide, you know what, I am coping with my emotions right now with this food, and that's okay. I've made that decision. And it's not something I do all the time. I just decided, you know what, I'm really stressed. And sometimes when I'm stressed, I like to just sit down and eat this particular food, and that's okay. But that's really what intuitive eating is about, is it's more, you're not letting a rule tell you what decision to make at the time. You're saying, hey, what do I really need? Why am I doing this? Is this the right decision for right now? Yeah, you know what? It is. And that's why I can go into the store and see donuts, which I really love donuts, and I can see bagels, and I can, some days I'll choose a donut and some days I'll choose the bagel. Other days I'll go in and say, yeah, I'm not really in the mood for either one. And I'll walk by and I'll go get a piece of fruit or something else. And it's just because I know that if I want the donut, I'll have the donut. But then that freedom of knowing I can eat the donut anytime I want means that I don't have to eat the donut all the time, or feel like, this is my only time to get it. I need to get it now, or I'm not going to be able to get it later.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, and when we watch children, they do the same. Like sometimes my kids will sometimes come and ask for fruit. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a call earlier, and then sometimes I'll ask for sweets and chocolate, you know, depending. Yeah. The other thing is as well is, you know, sometimes it's about taking responsibility as well. You know, if you know that you have had a day where you really just, you know, eaten processed foods, but it, for reason, you've been out and about, right. You've been away, you've had no vegetables one day, you know, the next day you maybe want to say to yourself, do you know what, I'm going to make the better choice today because yesterday I wasn't so healthful, and today, you know, I just want to, and that's okay as well. You know, no one's saying, and that you might override a drive to eat a donut that day, but that's okay. You're doing it for reasons, and nobody should ever judge. I mean, and the other thing I wanted to say there as well is that about emotional eating is emotional eating does have a place. You're probably never going to find the answer to your solution in the fridge, okay? Right. But there are times when emotional eating gets you through a tricky time. Now, I've been open and honest about this before. I've been going through a really, really tricky, I mean, I've never spoken in great detail about it, but, you know, I have been going through a really, really tricky, complicated divorce, right? And I've been, you know, I was in and out of court and it all came to a bit of a head not long ago. Now, I'm sharing this with you because at that point, I definitely was eating to my emotions, okay? And but I knew it was happening. I knew what was going on, but I knew there was nothing. At that time, I had to get through the experience and it was helping me. It was helping me. I wasn't, you know, not, it wasn't completely, you know, unsolicited. I'm going to eat chocolate and crisps and donuts all day. But it was a difficult time and I definitely did emotionally eat and I definitely did gain a few pounds. But it's okay. It wasn't going to last forever. It got me through a tricky period. I knew that once I was out the other end, that it would all balance itself out. I'd be feeling better. I'd be back to it. And I am. And, it, you know, and I didn't have to put myself on a diet because I'd emotionally eat. I just trusted that it would all fall back into place. And it did. And again, that's what you said there, Craig, as well. I put on a few pounds over lockdown. Okay. So fantastic. I'm glad you did. You know, it was a difficult time. You experienced some tricky emotions. You experienced stress. I can imagine that when life has got back to normal, it's all balanced itself out. People freak out. People say, I put a few pounds on, I need to go on a diet. Whereas if you've got a healthy relationship with food and your body and you listen to it, it will naturally. I've said again before, after Christmas, we all overindulge at Christmas. Rather than having to go on another calorie controlled diet, if you just let your body guide you, you will naturally make more healthful choices because your body wants to. You will naturally eat less because your body knows you've overdone it and you've consumed too many calories and it wants to get you back to its set point. You know, when you listen to it and let it guide you, those moments of indulgence won't, you know, they were, if anything, by restricting yourself, you're going to make it even more difficult. When I say eat fancy, I mean healthy food as well, but I never overeat. Exactly. Eat what you fancy and you won't overeat. Restrict yourself and you probably will overeat. Tom, this is a timely topic. I'm on a treadmill trying to. Oh, you don't have to earn your food. Yeah. If you're on the treadmill because it makes you feel good and you want to, sometimes when we overeat, we do feel a bit sluggish and our bodies have more calories to burn. Great. That's absolutely great. I've got clients who have said to me, you know, one client said to me recently, the other night I had fish and chips and it was absolutely fine. She says, I enjoyed the fish and chips. And she said, but do you know what happened? Because a couple of hours later, I really wanted to go out for a walk. And she said, in the past, what would have happened is I would have felt really guilty. I would have beaten myself up about having the fish and chips and I would have just slobbed out on the sofa. But this time, she says, I ate my fish and chips. I didn't even finish them all. And then, I had this overwhelming urge to go. And I was like, because, you know, you probably consume more calories than you needed in that, which is fine. It's absolutely fine. It was, you know, she was having fish and chips with her family. But then her body was like, do you know what? We've got a bit of energy to burn now. So we're going to go for a walk.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, but if you're putting pressure on yourself to burn off, I mean, this is why sometimes I really try to be careful about my social media content sometimes because people go, oh, I'm at the gym now, you know, so I can eat something later, or I'm at the gym. Sometimes, you know, when you put like post workout fit, and I think to myself, I don't ever want people to think that I'm only allowing myself this because I've been to the gym. Sorry, that's another topic, isn't it? But you don't have to earn your food. You never have to earn your food. Enjoy your food. And if you want to exercise, great. But if, you know, do it for the right reasons.
Yeah. And those are some good points. And that's something where understanding some of the science and everything can be beneficial and how we can apply that to our intuitive eating. And I know that me being kind of the nutrition science geek that I am, I always enjoy reading the studies and learning about these different things that nutrition scientists and physiologists have learned about the body and how it works and then how to incorporate that. And I think you can apply that. And that's an area there that I've really come to kind of recognize in my life as I tune into it much more consciously. For example, you know, Tom was talking about this is a timely topic. I'm on the treadmill right now trying to burn off the beer and pizza from last night. And so I remember thinking in that way back when I used to calorie count that I would think, okay, I overindulged tonight. I went over my calorie target. I'll just add cardio to my workout tomorrow. You know, it wasn't planned, but I'll add it in there. That'll burn off another, and I'd calculate it 200 or 300 calories. And okay, that accommodates some of what I ate in excess last night. And then I'll cut another 200 or 300 calories out by adjusting my food intake. So I would think in those terms. But now what I've really realized, and this is me personally, you know, each person's going to vary to some degree in this. And we see this in the research, is that when we do overeat, oftentimes our body makes a natural adjustment for that by increasing our non-exercise activity. And so, and it's at a subconscious level, and we may not really realize it or think about it. So one of the things, as I really started tuning in more, is when I eat a lot of, if I eat excess calories, and in particular, a lot of carbohydrate, I tend to bounce around a little bit more, not hyperactive. You know, that whole thing with kids eating sugar and being hyperactive is kind of a myth, but it does increase my energy.
It is. Yeah. However, I must say there are times when I'll be like, oh, New Year's. Like, I know that's not true. And half the time, even as a parent, I'm like,
yeah. But it does give me more energy. Yeah. And that energy, my body has a natural desire to use and move when it has enough energy. And so when I do put more energy into my body, I tend to feel like moving more, whether that's just more pep in my step, whether it's just that desire, like you talked about, to go out and go for a walk, or to get up more often from my desk and run down the stairs and run back up instead of walking down the stairs and walking back up, those kinds of things, just those subtle differences. When you're really being consciously aware of how your body is working, you start to realize, you know what, my body actually has a pretty good way of handling when I eat more energy than it needs. And also when I eat less, you know, because our body does the exact opposite. When we eat less than we need, it tends to dial back down our energy expenditure in a way to kind of balance that out. And you know, some people are frustrated by that idea because they think, well, I'm trying to eat less so I can lose weight and my body is slowing itself down. But that's actually, it's a beautiful survival mechanism and the way the body works. And so, you know, the research into this has found this to be quite true also. But we've also found that it varies. Again, why it's so important to look at the individual. It varies widely when they have these overfeeding studies where they intentionally feed people more than what their body needs. They find that some people's energy expenditure doesn't really go up much. And so that then, of course, ends up as excess energy. And then that can translate to body fat accumulation. But while other people have been shown to go in excess of an extra 1,000 calories of non-exercise activity at a subconscious level when they overeat. And so again, there's this broad spectrum, but the general principle applies to everybody. And so it's good it really comes back. My whole point in that long rambling thing was,
you attach the science to our whole story.
But my whole point is that it comes back to the intent. There's nothing wrong with jumping on the treadmill after you had a night of pizza and beer. I personally find that when I go the next day and move a bit more than normal, or make sure that I go to the gym on that day if I had a very indulgent meal the night before, I do feel better. But it's not,
I wanted to make that
if you're doing it to burn off the calories, that can really start to skew your way of thinking, your relationship with food, your mindset. If you're doing it because that's what you feel like doing and because you feel better after doing it, that's a whole different way. And I think that we often overlook the importance of intent.
And I love this. And I was going to say exactly the same point, Jeff. And that what you said, Tom, I love what you've just said there as well. No, you don't have to earn your food. You do run every day. It's your drug. And I'm cranky when I don't run. I am the same. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times, exactly like what you said, Jeff, if I've been out and had a few drinks or had something to eat, you know, unless I've not got enough sleep, then the gym will always energize me and make me feel less sluggish the next day. But I'm doing it. I'm not doing it as a form of weight control.
Right.
You know, I'm doing it because it makes me, I'm doing it for my mental health. And so, and this is the thing, changing the intent, just changing the way that we think makes a huge difference. It's the same with changing the power of language. You know, like I was looking at a program recently and at some content for a program. And in this program, it was saying, don't eat this, do eat this. And I was talking to my coach about it. And I was saying, look, you know, like I get, you know, to be fair, you know, when I'm coaching my clients, I would always get them to focus on what you should eat. And, you know, to so that they're not focusing so much on the other stuff. But it's just the way that you package it up. It's the language that you use. Mm-hmm. If it's like, what I would say to clients is, you know, this do you should eat list. How much of this are you getting in your diet right now? Yeah. Well, I'm not getting this. I'm not getting this. I'm getting. Okay. You're not getting that. Those things. Let's have more of those in our diet. Let's take away the you shouldn't have this, you shouldn't have that, because there is nothing out of bounds. But on this green, so in this program and for this content, basically, there was a green list, there was a red list, you know, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
You know, at school, it drives me friggin' nuts. You know, system. I'm like, don't tell my child they can't eat chocolate, or they can't eat, even don't even tell my child they can have it. You know, just anyway, that's another topic again. I'm going to go on about that, but you know, when my kid comes home and tells me certain foods are unhealthy, and I'm like, do you know what? I'm going to come and tell you. But I know they do it with the best intention, sorry. And anyway, going off on one. But what I'm trying to say is that rather than saying to somebody, right, you can eat these, you can't eat these, just explore the green list without calling it a green list. And like, what's missing? And whatever is missing, focus on getting more of that. Don't worry about the red stuff. You're allowed it. But if we're focusing on what you need in your diet right now, the rest of it will fall into place.
Yeah. And I think that, it comes back to that intent. Why is it important to consider adding certain things to your diet? A person is struggling with being regular. They're constipated, or maybe they struggle with diarrhea or these kinds of things. And so we can start to say, well, what does your fiber intake look like? We know from science and understanding that fiber helps us with regularity. And so someone who's constipated, we can say, what's your fiber intake look like? What's your stress level look like? Because it's not all about the food. So we kind of delve in and look at things. And then, so we might encourage someone to eat more fiber, not because it's filling and it can help them get through stretches of not eating adequate amounts of energy, which is kind of a little diet hack that a lot of people do when they're dieting. But the intent, you know, telling someone that we should try and eat more fiber so that we can stick to our low calorie restricted diet is very different than telling someone or encouraging someone to eat more fiber because it's going to help them poop better, which is going to probably feel better. Yeah. And really, you know, the whole intent aspect is, again, it's just something we overlook. And I think that when we think about food being more than just nutrition, it comes back to the intent. Why is it that we would encourage someone to choose certain foods or maybe cut back even on certain foods because of how it's making them feel? How does eating this fast food every day at lunch and breakfast and takeaway for dinner, how does that make you feel? Do you feel good with that? Probably not. But it's not because you don't need to cut out those other things necessarily. You need to say, well, what should I add in different that would make me feel better?
Yeah. Most people need more carbohydrates for energy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was something that came.
Yeah. Like Tom, he said, you don't have to earn your food. I actually run every day. It's my drug and I'm cranky when I don't run. So for him, that running is, he's doing it because it makes him feel good. It's not because he feels like he needs to do it. If your intent is because it just, you know how it makes you feel, you know, if you don't do it, that you don't feel as good. So that's kind of your motivation for doing it. Not to burn off your pizza and your beer.
I'm working with a client at the minute. And one of the things we're working on is her thinking about why she's making her food choices. Mm-hmm. So are you making that food choice because it's lower calorie? Are you making that food, you know, what is it? Is it a diet rule? And often that takes some real deep work. Mm-hmm. And I love when I read people's food journals and it's like, oh no. And then it'll be like, you know, just to really uncover that intent, to really uncover mm-hmm. what it is. But anyway, that's the beauty of coaching. And And I think this is the thing, is that, you know, food is so much more than just nutrition, because the other thing to bear in mind is that, you know, you mentioned earlier, just to wrap up as well, is that you mentioned earlier about how, you know, obviously our bodies are great at surviving. Our bodies have got, you know, survival mechanisms. And you've got to remember that we haven't, you know, biologically, you know, we haven't caught up with our food environment, let's say.
Yeah.
So, you know, we are hardwired to seek out if we go through a period where we're not getting enough food, where we're not feeding ourselves properly. This is why people often binge and restrict, because, mm-hmm. you know, when we go through a period where we're not giving ourselves everything we need, our brain will go into everything. All your willpower will go out of the window because your body is saying, right, my human's in danger. It needs food. So it will, you know, it will ramp up everything it can. In order, it's like what you mentioned earlier, Jeff, about, you know, if you've eaten more than you need to, your body will ramp, you know, it will ramp up your metabolism, let's say. But again, that's another, people don't get too hung up on that because it's made up of, you know, but it will ramp up your energy expenditure. And conversely, if you don't eat enough. So just, we can't trick our bodies, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So the best thing to do, and this is why the diet industry is huge. This is why it's making millions and millions and millions, billions of pounds, billions of dollars every year, because it doesn't work, you know? And it's the only product that we keep going back to time and time again and blame ourselves when it doesn't work. I always say, you wouldn't, if you bought a dress with a faulty zip or a suit with a faulty zip and you took it home and the zip broke and you took it back to the shop and the zip broke again, you wouldn't keep taking it back. You would take it back and you get a refund and you leave it at that. Whereas with diets, we keep going back for more. We keep blaming ourselves. So it's the best recurring business model ever.
Yeah.
That's just something to bear in mind. If you could trick our bodies, if we could live by these external rules, it would work, wouldn't it? But it doesn't. And that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so if anybody is watching the replay, please do comment. Thank you for watching. And if you've got any questions whatsoever, please do comment as well. If you're still tuned in, please say goodbye. If you've got any questions, there's some great comments and questions there.
Yeah, thank you for all those great questions and comments.
Not as much as I would like. I would really, really love to get some more interaction here. So please, you know, don't forget my offer at the beginning of this live. My nutrition program starting in just a couple of weeks. Anybody who signs up in the next 24 hours will be entered to a draw where they get their place free. So if you are interested in that, please do message me or comment. It's really, really exciting. It's all run through an app. So I'm really excited about that. And yes, if anybody's got any, if anybody's enjoyed this conversation or knows anyone who would benefit from my offer, then please do like and share. We want to share this with as many people as possible to get as much interaction and answer as many of your questions as we can moving forward. So once again, thank you everybody for tuning in. Thank you if you are watching the replay. Comment as always. And we'll see you again next week for another live.